Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue, 428, the eighth stanza. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, a light upon my pathway unto heaven. The eighth stanza, 428. God can be found in the Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 1 through 23. The Gospel of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 1 through 23, but before the 12 articles and after the Dort's canons, the 3rd and 4th heading, the articles 9 and 10. Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Before the 12 articles and after, the 3rd and 4th heading of the Dort's canons, the articles 9 and 10.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew 13, starting at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Article 9, and you can find it on page 107. It is not the fault of the gospel, nor of Christ offered therein, nor of God, who calls men by the gospel and confers upon them various gifts, that those who are called by the ministry of the word refuse to come and be converted. The fault lies in themselves, some of whom, when called, regardless of their danger, reject the word of life. Others, though they receive it, suffer it not to make a lasting impression on their heart. Therefore, their joy, arising only from a temporary faith, soon vanishes and they fall away. While others choke the seed of the word by perplexing cares and the pleasures of this world, and produce no fruit. This our Savior teaches in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. Article 10. But that others who are called by the gospel obey the call and are converted is not to be ascribed to the proper exercise of free will, whereby one distinguishes himself above others, equally furnishes with grace sufficient for faith and conversions, as the proud heresy of Pelagius maintains. But it must be wholly ascribed to God, who, as he has chosen his own from eternity in Christ, so he confers upon them faith and repentance, rescues them from the power of darkness, and translates them into the kingdom of his own Son, that they may show forth the praises of him who hath called them out of darkness into his marvelous light, and may glory not in themselves, but in the Lord, according to the testimony of the apostles in various places.
Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Thou hast said, seek me, we seek thee, O Lord. Hide not thy face from us. Thou hast been our help in the past, and thou art the same today. We draw nigh into thy footstool, unworthy sinners, but we call upon thy name, that wonderful and glorious name, Jesus, Son of Man and Son of God and Son of Man, Mediator between God and man, that it might be said, our Mediator. Lord, that thou would set people free who are in bondage, hopeless, tired, having no peace. Oh, we pray that thou would do such things among us for one reason, like we have heard out of the confession, that thy name might be glorified. All of thee, all in thee, all unto thee. Lord, remember the work of Mission Stephanus Foundation. We pray also for the Reverend Vandenberg, who had colon cancer and is the surgery. They don't know if it's spread in his body. But we pray for his soul when we went years ago together to Malawi, preaching from village to village. We heard people hearing. Thou knowest his family, and we pray that thou would heal him, could it be, for thy ministry, and if not, that he might have a joyful coming home after his ministry. Minister to him, Lord. We thank thee also for the family who heard in Uruk that a little child, 4 years old, the witness of thy people by thy Spirit witnessed, has come home, spared for the dangers and sin of this world. We pray, remember the family, it's a family of our families, bless them unto thy glory, that they might be comforted with thy comfort, that she belongs not anymore to her father and mother, but to thee, the Lord of Lords. ordinary member. Also the Morning family, Schutzma. When this week they have to bury a mother, and she had just a child of 3 years old, Lord. The child will never be very much acquainted with her mother. But we pray that thou would strengthen Paul and the whole family when they this week on Tuesday have to go to the burial place and trust the body to the soil of which we are taken. Thou knowest the purpose of our soul. Be with them, glorify thyself, and that there might be a witness of thy works to be seen on earth and in heaven. Remember the work of Stephanus, Lord, that mission work among the orphans, the schools, also the work in Zambia, where ladies are taking care of orphans in schools. Lord, this hunger I've heard, bless thy word above all things. We are making rice Christians, but thou art making true Christians, not for the good they get, but for the salvation in thy dear Son. Remember the Reverend Oman when he has a farewell temporary time, farewell time, when the Reverend Van den Bast takes over the work at the Bible school and the congregations. Be with them. Ah, Lord, that we might hear this one and that one is born in Zion, at the altar, at the sacrifice of Christ, a new creature. Lord, we pray for all the sick and afflicted. There are many children sick, coughing, and be with them. But, O Lord, their souls, Lord, remember their souls. They are eternal. Like that 4 years old child in Urk, it's going home, being here for a little while, but being with thee eternally in Christ. Think about us, Lord, like thou hast remembered the murder at the cross and opened by the promises of thee, the gospel, the heavenly port gates by which he would enter. Hear us when we pray and open the scriptures unto us, when we deal with the doctrines of grace, founded on thy word. Not only doctrines, let's say, to know, but to experience religion, true knowledge of thee in Christ. Open there into the scriptures, we confess that we are not worthy of the least of thy benefits. Really, Lord, we forfeited them all. But we are not pleading upon our righteousnesses, and they are not, but only on thy goodness and grace and mercy. In thy dear Son, we ask it in his name. Amen. Last time we have seen, and then Christ is offered without a condition, the free offer of grace. There's always a difficulty. People always accuse the Reformed people because they teach election that you can't preach the offer of grace. They think that if you preach election, you can't preach Christ. That everyone who believeth in him should have eternal life. But it must be preached to every creature. And if you're not, as a minister, you're not complying, not listening to him who you sent, preach the gospel to every creature you meet, in church and outside of church. And now we come in 9 and 10. Why do some believe and some don't? What is it about? Why do some reject it and some come to true faith? The Arminian said, listen carefully, God gives a possibility to everyone. That's the first. And secondly, they say, but you have to use your will to receive. So, it's a possibility. Everyone can be converted. Possibility. But to be converted, you have to use your will. Free will. Make a decision. And if you make the wrong decision, then it's over. So the glory of God depends on man. I have to make the right decision that God would be glorified. It hinges on my decision. And I can understand why do people say this? We don't easily believe that we are dead in trespasses and sin and are unable to believe and repent. Well, in Article 9 and 10, it deals with the parable of the sower. And we go into it not too deep, but anyways, we'll show that not every sown seed is fruitful. Only those who are sown in good earth, good soil, will be fruitful. It's the same seed. It's the same ministry. It's the same preaching in the church. And the one is fruitful and the other is not. Why and how? That's how Christ teaches the ministry of the Word. And we'll come to it and deal with a bit with the heresy of one old monk, Pelagius. He was an enemy of one of our Augustine, the father of right doctrine, Pelagius. He taught the free will. He didn't teach that we were dead in trespasses and sin, but sick. And by hearing the gospel, you were already healed and you could make a decision. But congregation will come to it, and let's first sing 293, 1 through 3. 293, 1 through 3. Rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High. 1, 2, 3, 293. After singing, there will be the collections. it's not the fault of the gospel, nor of Christ, nor of the preaching, nor of certain gifts given by God, that those who are called by the ministry of the word refuse to come and be converted. It's not the gospel, it's not the ministry, it's not the minister, it's not the word, it's not Christ. The fault is not there. We can accuse God. The same word is preached to every soul in this church, and where the gospel is preached to every soul on earth. So it's not the gospel, it's not the word, it's not the minister. You can have a converted minister, and a minister called to your congregation, but it's not the fault of the minister that there are no people converted. It's one reason people refuse to come and be converted. This enmity. It's kind of hatred against the word. That's our natural state. Refuse to come. One says, I married a woman. The other says, I have some oxen. And the other said, I have a piece of land and I need to look how it is. I don't come. Not me. No interest. Even the word he used is refuse as an act. Don't want to come. No, not me. That's the deepest sense of enmity against God and Christ. Refusal. While you're called. In congregation, we should offer Christ and preach him as the all in all for a nothing and nothing. It's a privilege to preach. It's a gift to a minister to preach the gospel to every creature, to glorify the Savior, to invite people with love and compassion. Not only be stern, but to love and invite. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come, come ye to the waters. And he that come by wine and milk without money, you may come with an empty pocket, without price. It costs nothing. It's paid for. Isn't it wondrous? If Christ is inviting and God is inviting sinners to come to himself and buy without price, be owner of wine and milk, the Spirit and the righteousness of Christ. It's even the duty of a minister to command faith. With the command, preaching the gospel, with the command of faith and repentance. And again, if you look carefully to this article, then it says after the command is the gift. The command discovers, and the gift covers. What God commands, he gives. That's Augustine. Pelagius said, if God commands, and Erasmus said it too, that's liberal. Erasmus said, if God gives the command, he doesn't say you can't do it, otherwise he wouldn't give the command. Erasmus said, if God gives the command, there must be an ability to obey. Otherwise, why would God give the command? They deny that the command is given for conviction and judgment. They think by the command, you have a step upwards. You can. And you can prepare yourself. But that's among us. If I behave well, if my clothes are proper, and my attitude is good, I have something to plead upon. And God might bless it. Can you see what I mean? You use the command to improve. And if you improve, God might bless it. It's among our circles. God gives a command, and oh, sure, and I have to walk and live according. And if I live according to it, probably sometimes God will bless it. So I have to do a little preparation, and God does the rest. We are way better than the world around, isn't it? Clothes proper, walk neat, think a bit better. It's all imagination, it's not true. But that's how we were, like the Jews. Have Arminians, Pelagians, thinking that there is something good in us which God will reward. That's Pelagianism. We can prepare ourselves for grace. That's not only by doing and leaving, it's also sometimes by thinking that you can repent yourself. If I repent, then God will give grace. So I'm busy with repentance. But repentance is also grace, true repentance. We always have a kind of repentance to get. But if you're truly repenting, you can't get anymore. It's over. You're guilty and hopeless. And it doesn't need to come only from the other side, if there is grace. But oh, we want to prepare. Do you know, Pelagius says we need cooperating grace. We need to cooperate with God for grace's sake. And that's not true. We refuse by nature. We are not cooperating. Even if we seem to be religious, it's enmity against the cross. We don't want to be saved by grace only, by Christ alone. We want to have something to say, something to think, something to do. But we can't. But there is a command, Pastor. Sure. The command is for convicting, judging, make room for the gospel. What God commands, he gives in the way of prayer. That's Augustine against Pelagius. Augustine says, this is the gospel, what God commands, that's the law, he gives. And so they are saved. So if God comes to you with a command, it doesn't mean that you can do it, but you might try to plead upon his command and says, Lord, give what thou commandest and give then what thou willest. What thou willest. That's pleading. If you see your helplessness and sinfulness. In congregation, I have to make Christ glorious in preaching, a willing Savior, a very compassionate Savior, an all in all for a nothing. I must plead with you. Be reconciled unto God. But it doesn't mean when the gospel is preached freely to you that you are able to believe and repent yourself. By nature, we refuse. And then secondly, and I have to go through the parable, there is a work of the Spirit which is not saving. See, the Arminians say you can fall away. There can be a good work started in your heart and then you fall away. There is no perseverance of saints, and I come to it in the last chapter. So if you don't continue with your choice time and again, you can fall away. Even a true saint, a reborn Christian, can fall away. And do you know what they even teach? They have to be born again. It's a legalistic religion because it's full of fear. There is no comfort in. You have to continue it. With congregation, we believe that there is a work of the Spirit that's not saving. It's a common operation of the Spirit. Not a general operation of the Spirit, that's singing and music and wisdom. But a common operation of the Spirit is God works, but not savingly. Hebrews 6, verse 4 and continuing. You can have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the ages to come and fall away. There is no... What's lacking in Hebrews 6? Christ. It's tasting. It's feeling. But outside of the knowledge of the Savior. We call it common grace. Now in the first place, in the parable of the sower, you can see that there might be common grace when the seed, the gospel, it's the same seed which is fruitful at the end, is sown on stony ground. Now what's stony ground? I dealt with it, but let's reiterate again. It's a little piece, it's not much earth or soil. So it's soon warm and it's soon watered. And if you sow the seed on it, it's soon springing up because it's warm. And if the rain comes, it's growing fast. If you look to your land, hey, that's green there. That's already green. That's growing already. But it had no depth. The roots couldn't go down to the water wells. And when the sun comes, it scorches, dries and dies. That's temporal faith. They never went into the depth. They immediately received the gospel with joy. Oh, let's be. They were never hopeless, never cut down, but received it immediately with joy. I believe that's the faith of the end times. It's the congregational Laodicea, temporal faith. Joy for a little while, 3 years going to church and then giving it up. I talked to Armenian ministers when we were in Plymouth, Wisconsin. We had every Thursday a meeting with ministers, and I said, how is it? What's Reformed? And we talked about it, and I tried to explain the scriptures to them. He says, but you're right. They make a decision, come into church for 3 years, and then they have clapped enough and sung enough all of joy, and then ultimately after 3 years they go away. I said, I've seen it all. And then we get new people in, making a decision, receive it with joy. Don't be so pessimistic always, using the law for conviction. You shouldn't. The law is gone. They don't even teach the law anymore for conviction. Christ fulfilled it all. Now there is a possibility for everyone. It's the end time. It goes by. But it's common grace. It's not saving grace. The Spirit works. But commonly, joy. And if you speak about convictions, oh man, are you so old-fashioned? You're a depressive church member. Yeah, but I can't believe myself. Oh, make a choice. Go to the front, confess the sinner's prayers, and accept Jesus. Why is it so difficult? But there is a people of God that can believe unless God gives them faith. And when God gives them faith, they can't not believe. They must believe. Out of the depths I cry unto thee, and you heard my voice, my supplications. I love the Lord, for you heard my voice. Secondly, there is common grace in the sense that the seed is sown and it's not plowed properly. The law didn't do its work proper. The soil is good enough. It's deep enough. There is soil enough. But you have to plow deep. Why? To cut the roots of sin. If the law doesn't kill the roots of sin, it will grow fastly. Therefore, Isaiah says that we have to plow even the corners of the field deeply, that sin might be exposed, sin might be exposed. And what's plowing? Tell me what's plowing. The inward part comes outward. God reveals who you're inside. A plowing is, it turns the soil, isn't it? It cuts the roots and turns the soil. God shows who you are within, spiritually. And if plowing is not done, or superficial, not deep, not cutting, what happened? What's growing faster? Corn or wheat? Wheat. And do you know what happens then by the wheat? The corn is choked. Killed. And even by the desires of the world, two things, by persecution and the desires of the world. The love for money and joy and pleasure. It kills the word sown in your heart. It looks like sometimes it's growing fast, but it has no fruit. It's killed by the wheat. It's common grace. It looks like if it's true, but ultimately it dies just before it bears fruit. That's also common grace. not bearing fruit. Now, the next parable in Matthew is the parable of the tares and the corn or the wheat. Now, the wheat brings forth white fruit, and the tares black fruit, synzanium. It's superficial wheat. It's strong, big root system, and it kills. And you know what the Lord says, we should live together till the time when God separates. But there can be a look-like faith and a look-like belief, and still it's not. It's seen in the fruits, either fruits white or black. A good tree brings forth good fruit, and an evil tree can only bring forth evil fruit. Seemingly have the appearance of a child of God, but in the fruits you will see who they are. Is there love, compassion, glory of God, honor of the triune God? In congregation, I forgot one, no. The most horrible sin in the Reformed churches, or where the word is truly preached, is when it comes to the wayside. What's the wayside? Let's say we have a whole field plowed. And I was in Friedrichshain, that's in Overijssel, minister. And when the heritage was severed, do you know what they did? Sometimes they had a piece of land, let's say 14 meters wide. But if there were two boys, they cut it in half, 7 and 7, long. And they wanted to end there where they could get some wood. So they were long pieces or land. In congregation, but how could you divide a piece of land? You had to tread a path. So you had to tread a path. It was plowed, but you had to tread a path between. Do you know, in our churches, there are many trodden paths. You have heard it so many a time. You're hardened by it. You have heard it 30 times. And there was no conversion. You should always be careful. If there is no fruit in the preaching, you should be fearing. For you hear it, and 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 you fall asleep. Oh, I've heard it. Oh, man. The first time when you were young, you were awoken. But now, and do you know? Reformed people, being under the truth and not converted, you have to preach any time more severe. And then they have some impression and say, oh, I had a good sermon. But no fruits of grace, no fruits of faith. They live by impressions. What a serious sermon. What a serious sermon. What a serious sermon. Makes impression. It's like I said once to you, sometimes you need to give your children spanking. Oh, Pastor, don't say it because they are going to jail here in Canada. No, yeah, I'm not doing it, but the Bible says so. With tears and compassion. But they think if it's over, then it's over, I can go again. And then sometimes they are waiting for the next spanking. Spanking helps sometimes, but it doesn't convert. It subdues, but doesn't give faith. Then your heart has to be broken. Isn't it? And especially legalists, when I have serious sermons, some impression, But if I would ask, are you converted? Do you know Christ? Oh, I don't know Christ. Oh, no. I have a good impression. I like that sermon. It's quiet in church. But if it's not Christ, it's common grace, even preaching fear. Not only the joy without sound ground, but also fear without the knowledge bringing you to Christ as a condemned sinner needing grace in Christ Jesus alone. Let's sing 179, 1 through 4. 179, 1 through 4. Lord, arise and by his might, let God arise and by his might, let all his foes be put to flight. And what's further? 1 through 4, 179. But it's not the fault of the gospel, nor of God, nor of the minister. it's because you refuse to come and to repent. But now the second, but that others who are called by the gospel obey the call and are converted is not to be ascribed to the proper exercise of the free will. Now we come to Pelagius, and Pelagius said, God fulfilled the law for everyone. So the Father gives everyone an opportunity to believe, and it depends on your free will, your own decision to be saved. In those churches, they normally don't read the law anymore. They think the law is out of order. It's fulfilled by Christ for everyone. If you speak about it, they say, oh, that's legalism. No, that's how they think about it. You have to apply and do something where there is a possibility. I always am a bit suspicious if people preach the possibility. What's the possibility? Gives God the possibility to be converted? You think so? What's the disability? Possibility, where it depends on the possibility that we fulfill then. No. The Bible doesn't say there's a possibility. The Bible says, by whom you must be saved. God saves. He had to go to Samaria, and he found that woman at the well, and she had to be saved. That's election. It can be ascribed to my free will. I have not a free will. One of the best books Luther wrote is The Bondage of the Will. We have one will, not to will what God wills. And therefore, they say, if you use your abilities, your free will, and you use it better than others who refuse to come, you shouldn't refuse. You have two sides on it, congregation. You can say, I can accept it, and you can also say, I can deny it. Now, I have a question. If God wants to give you grace, can you deny it? The working of the Spirit is irresistible. You can't. If there is only the possibility to accept it or deny it, and it depends on me, and men should be glorified in their own salvation always. No. No. That's the proud heresy of Pelagius. Pelagius said, we are not dead in trespasses, it's in we're sick. And by hearing the gospel, you're already healed, and then you can make the decision. But you have heard what I said about Augustine. He says, God commands, and what he commands, he gives all of it. That's grace. In congregation, that idea of Arminianism is strong in us. We don't believe we are dead. God needs to show you. We don't believe that we are dead in trespass and sin. That was the question in question 8. Are we then so corrupt that we are totally unable to do anything good? That was the objection. I said to my wife before I went to church, I said, the gospel is the most attacked thing in the world, especially after the Enlightenment. When people think that man is in the kernel good, that's what people think today. There is a positive thinking about humankind, and that has only to be developed. Then I always say to the Armenians, I say, why are you not converted then? People say, I need to believe. I said, why don't you believe then? Yeah. Yeah, you make the wrong choice. Yeah, you surely make the wrong choice. But God made the right choice. But the whole work of conversion must be wholly ascribed to God, who, as he has chosen his own from eternity in Christ, he confers on them, upon them, faith and repentance. He gives it to them, faith and repentance. And rescues them from the power of darkness, and translates them into the kingdom of his own Son, that he may show, that they may show forth the praises of God. That's the ultimate purpose. Not I did this and I could do it and I helped and I had a good decision. No, it's all of grace, to praise God only. That's the purpose of salvation, to praise God for mercy, and not yourself or me or the minister or the church or the doctrines. If you're a true Christian, you can't ascribe anything to yourself. You can't. It's all of him, all by him, and all and him. He is my all in all. That's delivering. That's liberty. That's grace. That's glorifying God. But congregation, I want to speak about, and it comes to it, but I want to speak about that same good soil that brings forth fruit 30, 40, and 60, and 100 fold. What's the first thing God does? He plows, uses the law. He plows the soil, turns a sinner upside down, shows his inward total depravity, shows that the law is spiritual, and I'm carnal, sold under sin. He shows me. It might take longer, dear, might take shorter, might be in 3 minutes as the jailer, but that's what he does. He uses the plow knife to bring the inside, the cover up, outside. Cuts the roots of sin. It's a cutting preaching. Cutting your own abilities down to nothing. In Psalm 65, you read the work of the Spirit properly. For it's not only the plowing. Let's read Psalm 65, 9 and 10. Thou visited the earth. That's first. God visits his people. If that's not it, it's nothing. It's not my visitation. Thou visited the earth and watereth it. Thou greatly enriched it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided. And then 10 goes again. And listen. Thou waterest the riches thereof. Thou settest, the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. That's again, it's not only a legal conviction. If you plow only and you don't rain and don't use water, it won't grow. And what's the rain? The rain softens, make you mellow, make you guilty, make you broken. It's not only legal fear, it's humbling grace by the rain of God. It's repentance. Way that I've so sinned against God. And then it doesn't go for heaven or earth. You have one thing, you want to be released, forgiven your sins. God breaks your heart by the rain of the Spirit. It's not only legal conviction, it's also gospel conviction. Psalm 65, 10. Thou waterest the riches thereof. Thou settlest the furrows. Would we plow in enough to get corn this year? Do you know what the Bible says? We need the early rain and the latter rain. Now in Holland we don't have it, but in Israel you had the early rain and the latter rain. Why do you need the early rain? That the seed would spring up. That's the early rain. And why do you need the latter rain? That the stem would bring forth corn, fruit. You need two times rain if you have wheat. First, that the seed would spring up. And then the stem comes. And the latter rain you need for the fruit. And God rains in due time. If there is no rain, you might have a law, you might have convictions, you might have fear. But if I don't see the brokenness of heart in the true conversion, there is no true conversion. Repentance. Do you know what's repentance? That's a divine sorrow. Then you start crying about your sins and begging for mercy. He waters the furrows and the seed falls in the ridges. And when he waters, it breaks. If the Lord doesn't give the Spirit to descend upon the preaching, I just, before we went to church, I talked about it with my wife. Yeah, you talk with your wife, why should you say it? I'm always bothered if I don't see deliverance. If I don't see people come to the freedom, the liberty, the forgiveness of sins, then sometimes I'm afraid that we have the general operation of the Spirit. But I want you all to be delivered of your sins, and that your tears might be dried with the soft cloth of Christ. I've sinned. And when I'm broken, I accept my judgment. And it would be a wonder of all wonders if that grace would be given to me, that Christ is my substitute. Repentance and faith. What's repentance? That's the brokenness of heart. And there are fruits of repentance. That's love. Your heart is broken by the love of the gospel. That although you sinned, he embraced you. And although you hated him, he cares for you. He says, come, let's reason. Your sins might be as scarlet. I will make them white as wool. is here a repenting sinner. Inside out, sorrowing. I will draw them with supplications and tears. If there is any revival to be awaited, it starts always with repentance. Like we have dealt with it these weeks with Nehemiah. When Ezra was reading the Bible, they cried and sorrowed, and God forgave them. And I think, not only think, and I know, the more you know of him, the more sorrow you have. Have mercy upon me, sinner. And sorrow is the strength of sanctification. You're starting to hate sin and to love righteousness for Christ's sake. Therefore he waters the ridges thereof, and he makes it soft with showers. I've seen so many a time people speaking about the law, but as hard as stone. Speaking about conviction, fear and trembling, never broken. It's common grace. Judas is fearing that only common grace. And I believe the fear of Judas was worse than the repentance of Peter. Peter sorrowed, for love was put out in his heart of Christ. But Judas was given over to the devil, and he had, and I've seen people with very strong convictions. And I'm always waiting until I see that God breaks the sinner. And when he breaks them, he takes sin away. You might have very deep and strong convictions. And if it's never more, it never comes to the brokenness of heart and the contrite of spirit. Oh, my dear soul, you will never come to liberty. Never accept judgment. Never back for grace. And then it brings forth fruits. Early rain, latter rain, and then they're all saints. No, the one brings forth 30-fold, and the other 40, and the other 60, and some 100. There is a kind of reasoning today that you have to always be a man of 100-fold. I think even that there might be a child of God here having only one kernel of fruit. That's good enough. And even the Bible says, if you build on that foundation, straw and or gold and silver, even if you build straw, chaff, if you're a Christian founded on that foundation, that's Christ, by fire you will anyways be saved, resting on the bosom of Christ only. When you can't find any fruit. I had a friend, and he is a minister, he said, the fruit is for the farmer, the work for the laborer. The fruits are not for us. We are Christian. No. To thee be the glory. And that's what it says. That they may show forth the praises of him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. The light in which we preach this morning. And may glory not in themselves. Not in themselves. If I would speak to a true Christian, he would never say, I but he has only one desire to say, he, not me. To him be all glory. God in Christ. But in the Lord, according to the testimony of the apostles in various places. Oh, congregation, we're going home. To which house are you going? Do you have a father house and a father heart? Has God turned his anger away in Christ and has kissed you with the kisses of his mouth? Where are you for a short time here, traveling in a strange country? But our domicile, our fellowship, is in heaven if you're a Christian. And you'll come home in due time. Like that little girl in Urk, 4 years old. Coming home in due time. Oh, that grace would be given to you. That God would take away the sorrows and turn it into joy. And I know, after that there is so much to sorrow. Evangelical repentance. Hating sin. Loving righteousness. Waiting for the day. Not to sin anymore. But praise God. Everlastingly. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, oh, what a wonder that thou hast given us thy word, and that thou doest what thou sayest, that thou appliest what thou hast said, that I know we have. There is here a little congregation in a big and vast country, and I know thou hast given us some where the tears are dried, where the sorrow is turned into joy. But they also, after grace, have to confess, not in me, even thankfulness. I am ashamed of myself. But to thee be the honor who gives what thou requires. For thy own glory, for thy own name's sake. Remember us in house visitation, remember the schools, the teachers, that they might have broken hearts to teach. Not only with stern faces and seriously, but with broken hearts. That our children might have broken hearts, begging for mercy. That their tears might be dried with that soft cloth. O Lord Jesus, shine upon us once more. Amen. We'll sing at the end 94, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. 94, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Where we will sing together 94, the stanzas 3, 4, and 6. Lord, with the abundance of thy house we shall be satisfied, for the fountain of eternal life is found alone in thee. And then the thick stanza, the workers of iniquity, and what's following, 3, 4, and 6, 94. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.